Blog Talk Radio.
Girlfriend, little slow.
There we go.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Another evening, we're thankful for those that have come out tonight. We thank the Lord for another evening in Bible study. Pastor C is stuck in traffic, but he's trying to make it in. But we're thankful to have Sister Gregory, who is here. How are you, Sister
Gregory? Blessed. Good evening, everyone.
Amen. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. We're going to ask everyone, if you would, just to bow your heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this another evening in which you have spared us. Father God, we come right now to again study your word, and we pray, Lord, that you might endeavor us, that you might allow us to reach into your word, O Lord, and to see what it is that you want to say. Father, we pray right now that you would help us to, again, have a better understanding of your word, that we might be made better for it. Lord, bless this evening. Bless those that have come out. Bless those that are en route. Lord, we're praying now that even now that you would guide Pastor C here, if it's your will. Lord, we thank you. Pray now, Lord, that as we endeavor to get into your word, that you might open our minds and our hearts, that we might see what it is that you want to speak to us this evening. Father, we ask it all right now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
We ask that you forgive us again. We're having some technical difficulties here in the studio, but we're going on anyhow.
Amen.
To do what God would have us to do. If you would, we're going to go back to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we're going to try to finish up this chapter this evening that we might go on. If you would, we want to go back and start in verse number 17. Again, we want to keep in mind that Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and this is, we've been talking and looking at how one must put on the whole armor of God in order to deal with the enemy's attacks. And the thing that we have to keep in mind is that no matter how saved we are or how much we're in Christ, we all have got to put on that armor on a daily basis.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That is so true, because if you don't, the devil will sneak up on you and you're not, without you being aware. But if you keep that whole armor of God on, when things come your way, when you have to deal with the struggles of life, you'll have that peace of mind to take a stop, take a second, and you know, even if you know the word of God or you know that you're saved, and that's what helps you to get through it. But you have to carry it with you at all times.
So we're going to look at, because I think it's important that we understand, and I know for a fact that the devil has been attacking all of us the last couple of months. It's almost as if he knows Christ is getting ready to come back, so he's turned up the heat in order to try to get Christians to turn back. But we all have had to go through the different attacks. They come in different ways at different times, and it doesn't matter if you're in the church, out of the church, although if you're out of the church, you don't have to worry about it as much. But if you are in Christ, if you're in the body of the Lord, we find that the devil will come at you in all kinds of ways.
Mm-hmm.
In the past few weeks, we've talked about the whole armor. We've looked at the loins being girded about with truth, talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We've looked at putting the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and talked about taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Mm.
And so we're going to go back and take a look at verse 17 again, where it says, and take the helmet of salvation. And we dealt with that a bit, and then we got into the second part of that, which talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you find that in that armor, the sword is basically the only offensive piece of equipment that you got. And it's important that we understand that in order to fight off the devil, not only do you need the rest of the armor to defend against it, but as people, we as humans, there's some fight in us. And you know, we want to do battle, but in order to do battle, we've got to do it in the way that the Lord wants us to.
Yes.
So, you know, the Bible talks about how we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. But the problem comes when enough of us are just not in that word like we need. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Sister G?
Amen. That is so true, because when you think it's a helmet, which is covering your head, which is where your mind is, and that's where a lot of times we rely on our mind, and when the devil and things are coming or attacks are coming our way, we want to go and think about, okay, how do I do this? How do I do that? But if we have a knowledge of God's word, we can do like Jesus did when salvation came against, when Satan came against him. He hit him with the word.
Yeah.
So we can hit him with the word the same way, particularly if there's certain scriptures that you're going through that you know. One of my favorite when I'm being attacked is, fret not thyself against the enemies, because he will be cut down like grass. And even if it's something that just something as simple as put on the whole armor of God, you're like, okay, Lord, I got the whole armor. Or if you use one of my favorites, the Lord is my salvation and my light. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? If you just throw those things back at the devil, then he has to flee. But you can't do it if you don't know the word of God.
Yeah.
And that's what comes to it. It comes from your heart, but it has to come from your mind, because the devil will play tricks on you. I'm telling you, there'll be times where you think that you're going crazy. But if you have that sword of the Spirit, if you know God's word, then something will come up that you've learned and that you've studied that you can just say to yourself and then say to Satan, and he'll have to flee.
Amen. And, you know, we talked about a few weeks ago how even when Jesus was tempted, he used the word, and every time he would come, he would say, it is written. But with most Christians today, we can't get past John 3:16. I mean, we've got to know more than one or two scriptures if we're going to defeat the enemy. You know, the devil is key itself, because, see, the devil can take that word and twist it and turn it back on us. That's what he did when he was tempting Eve in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we get that word in us, that we know what the word says. And in order to get it, we've got to study it. In order to study it, we also need to be taught.
Right.
So here comes Sunday school. Here comes Bible study. And, you know, the majority of Christians are not going to pick up that body and study that Bible and study it themselves. So you've got to be taught the word. And it's important that we make that commitment and venture out to Sunday school. I've heard all kinds of excuses. Well, it's too early. It's this. Then, okay, when you come back and you turn it back on, well, what about on Thursdays or Wednesdays, whatever your Bible study is? You know, I've been working all day. I'm tired. I'm this, that, and the other. But yet, the devil uses all of that to get us to the point where we don't want to go and study that word.
Right.
And basically what we're doing, we're hurting ourselves because we don't have enough of that word in us to defeat the enemy. Sister G?
That's right. And it's not just reading the word.
Studying, getting
it. It's truly studying it. And that's why Bible study is good, because I know that there's scriptures I've read over and over again, but depending on where I am in my life, it means something different. And it means, or it helps me in a different way. It says the same thing, just like preachers always say, that they can get a message out, get five or six messages out of the same scripture,
mm-hmm.
because the Holy Spirit reveals something different about it. And that's the thing about coming to Bible study and coming to Sunday school, because someone is expounding on the word, or even someone is talking about how they use that word within their lives through a testimony. And you can say, oh, you know what, you're right, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Okay, I'm going through a situation on my job where I'm being attacked. And this is how that person handled it. So I'm understanding what that means. And then they can continue, and they can go into their situation and apply that word to your life. So so you don't want to just keep it here.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to memorize it. You have to know how to do life application. And the way you learn how to do life, to apply it to your life, is truly not just reading God's word, but truly studying it.
Amen. And you know, one thing we have to keep in mind is that if we use enough of the word, we won't have to use some of those nice little choice words that we like to use that we shouldn't be using, but rather use the word of God, because the word of God can get the devil off your back quicker than some of them nice little cuss words that we like to use. Amen?
Uh-huh.
Amen. Then, so when we go on and look at verse number 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the
Spirit.
Praying always. Want to take that one, Sister G?
Yes. One thing that I've always shared with people is that you don't have to be on your knees, hand closed, head down with eyes closed in order to pray. All prayer is communication with God. It is no different than if you communicate with your spouse. And you know, as much as you love your spouse, sometimes you say to your spouse, I don't understand what you're doing. And if you have that relationship with God, you can actually say that to him, Lord, I don't understand your will, thy will be done. Nevertheless, thy will be done, but I don't understand it. And you can only do that when you have that relationship with him. And that's what prayer is. And that's how you get to know somebody.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've started prayer service at birth also. And I find that, especially with young people and young adults, when it comes to praying, especially openly, folks seem to kind of shy away from that. They seem to be ashamed of really praying. And so we try to get them to understand that, as Sister G has said, praying is simply talking with God. I find that with me in the morning, I got to have a little talk with the Lord before I even get up out the bed.
That's and right.
As I get older,
right.
I find that I have to
help
ask
me,
the Lord to help me get out that bed in order to make it through the day. And so, you know, the Bible says we ought to pray without ceasing. You know, I'm talking with my God because I need him all day long. You know, when I get in the car in the morning, even before I get going, you know, I've got to say a little prayer. And I find that I'm praying, Lord, not only for my strength, but for my safety to get where I want to go, but I'm also praying for the family. I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for others that I know need the Lord and need the word. So you pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so when you're praying in the Spirit, you know, it's not about you. but it's about you and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And along with while you're praying and while you're doing your thing, there comes a point, too, when you got to give God time to talk to you.
Listening. Two-way communication. So we're doing it a little different today, but I'm going to ask some of the people in the studio audience, why is it important to have a good prayer life?
Prayer life is so important for us to just keep it together, because without communication with God, there's nothing. And we need God at our every moment, because every moment we wake up, there's a challenge to us by Satan and that one-third of the angels that was kicked out of heaven. And it's a warfare. And right now, if you look at the Bible and what it says, things are winding down, so it's a no-holds-barred. And it's very serious. And that's not that we're not supposed to live and enjoy life, but it is a serious warfare out here. And we have to be very careful, because it is casualties all over the place, spiritual casualties. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Prayer for me is helping me to stay focused, also helping me to be able to just help to combat the enemy, being able to, when I pray and stay prayed up, I'm able to be able to help somebody else, you know, encourage people, you know, not only praying for myself, but praying for somebody else. And because sometimes, even if we've been in this walk with God for a while, sometimes we still don't know what we need to be praying for and who we need to be praying for. So when we continue to be just pray with God, you know, He and listen to Him, He will reveal things to us, you know. And I find for me, I have to do it, feet hit the floor. Because if I don't do it before my feet hit the floor, sometimes, and I get busy during the day, and I forget. So now, as I've kind of moved along in life, I do it before my feet hit the floor. And once I do that, it's like everything else seems to kind of fall in place. So starting with prayer first is the most important thing.
I found out that with prayer, it comes along with asking for what you want and then believing that it's going to happen. And that's what prayer is for me. Like we talked, Pastor Gregory and Sister Gregory talked about, you know, that we're going through some trials and tribulations in our life. I have learned that I have been doing a lot more praying. I was already praying, but I'm doing a lot more praying now, you know, because things come up with being a school teacher, and you have to pray because you know you can't lay hands on, so you have to pray. And so that's why I pray and ask the Lord to keep me from laying hands on. And I just thank the Lord for prayer, and I know that, you know, through prayer, things do change.
They do.
Yeah. I think you guys touched on it. The main thing with prayer is the communication. And, you know, I try to tell people all the time that no matter how you slice it, any successful relationship, business, your favorite sports team, the one thing they always do is they communicate well. They have good communication. So I tell people, like, you know, prayer is communicating with God. It's always good. So that way, you know, you can kind of keep the lines of communication open, because, you know, He doesn't forget about you when we forget about Him, not praying to Him, giving Him the thanks, always asking Him what we want. God, give me this. But you don't thank Him for what we got, but yet He's still waking you up every day and still gives you the full, you know, operation of your limbs. So I think prayer is definitely important because you're taking time out of the life that we so get caught up in the world that we get so caught up in to actually just sit down and kind of talk to God, even if it's in your car, if it's, you know, in the bathroom, if work's getting you stressed out anywhere, just to, you know, even if you just close your eyes for a second and just give him some glory. So I think it's definitely good to keep the communication open with God, and then it also kind of is like a recharge of your battery, your spiritual battery almost, just to kind of get you through the rest of that day or get you through the rest of that work day so that you continue to do what you need to do.
Amen, amen. That's so true. One thing I found that, especially with me, the older I get, although I'm still younger than my husband, I pray for guidance. You know, when I was younger, I thought I knew everything. So I thought, well, okay, Lord, I'll pray to you when I need something. But now I find that I'm more praying for direction, to lead God, direct my path, and so that I'm in the will of God. And that way, when he takes things a different way than what I thought it should be, I understand that even though, you know, the flesh in me is like, but I wanted that, or I wanted it this way. The spirit in me is like, but for whatever reason that is, God doesn't want you to have that yet, or God doesn't want you to go in that direction yet, or there's something further down that you don't know is going on. And that's what is really important about prayer, is praying in God's will and understanding that God's will is not always our will, and then just understanding that. And also, like you said, throughout the day, yeah, when you first get up, get that prayer of coverage. But then just throughout the day, it's like, okay, Lord, how do you want me to handle this?
Come on.
What you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And then just speaking it. Sometimes, you know, even at work, okay, let me go, like you said, go in the bathroom so I won't do it my way. And just praying for guidance and direction. And if you have the word of God in you, that prayer can be that much stronger.
Amen. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking years, early pastorage, I would get upset with my members when they would say things, do things that wouldn't go according to the will of God. But I learned how to pray. And I'm a witness that I don't let folk upset me. I don't get mad. I don't even have to get angry. I definitely don't get even. But I take it to the Lord. And I will tell them that. And I watch, I go pray on people, and Sister Gregory, no. Everything that I have prayed on, because, see, I'm praying not amiss, but I'm praying in God's will.
Right.
I'm praying for direction. I'm praying that, you know, folk would come around to understanding what God wants us to be about.
Right.
But I'm praying for conviction. I'm praying for convincing. I'm praying that the Lord would open minds and hearts to the ways of him, that we as a people might get out of all that of what we want. It's not about me, mine, mine, but it's about what God wants for us. And see, as Christians, you know, we come, once we accept him, we come aboard as babes in Christ. And so the growing process has to stop. And then once we grow, we, you know, it's just like feeding a baby. And with all my little grandkids, I watch them, they grow, you know, they're on that baby milk, and then they get to a point where they're ready to get off of it, they're walking, they're doing things. And that's the way it is with us as Christians. You know, we're on the baby milk of the word. And so we start off, we may not fully understand about praying and everything else that's connected with God, but as we get stronger, as we go along, you know, our job as Christians is to not only just pray, but to give God an opportunity to talk back to us. See, as Sister Gregory said, praying is a two-way thing. You've got to pray, but then you need to shut up and let God speak back to you.
Amen.
You know, a lot of folks that think that praying is simply, Lord, give me. And sometimes the Lord wants us to shut up and listen. So we have to learn that what prayer really is, and I find that I'm trying to teach my young adults and my young folk now, that prayer is not just asking and begging God, but then there's a point in your lives when you got to get to the point where you thank God for what he's doing in your life.
That's right.
And I find that when I take that approach, I have more joy now. And I share folk with our church that I am enjoying pastoring now more so than I ever had before because I've learned the secret to doing it God's way. So when they don't want to act right, I get mad, and I go pray. When they don't want to come to church, I go pray. And I let the Spirit guide me in what I need to do in order to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
So then I find that I'm just a little happy little Christian, and I can go on about my business doing what God wants me to do. But then along with all that, we've got to learn that it's not a thing where we just pray for ourselves. We need to learn how to pray for other people.
Amen.
You know, the Bible teaches that you ought to pray for those who despitefully use you.
Mm-hmm.
Those folks that talk about you and call you everything but a child of God. Now, within the human part of you, want to cuss them out. But the Lord says, no, you got to pray for them.
That's
you
right.
Don't pray that they fall down and break their neck. But you pray that the Lord would reveal some things and help to temper that human side of us that want to just grab them and choke them. The same with our kids. You know,
right.
if we don't walk away and pray, sometimes we'll kill. A lot of us would have been in jail a long time. So you've got to learn what it means and how to go about praying.
Right.
So you've got to learn how to pray for everybody, even those that you don't like.
Right.
Right.
And what you'll find is God will guide you as to who, when you're talking to him, you may walk past somebody or somebody that you know, and they may not want to talk about it, but in the spirit you might, you know that sister's going through something. And sometimes people are so heavy that they can't pray for themselves, but if you pray for them, that could encourage their heart. You know, and encourage, like even sometimes you put your hand on them, it's like, I may not know what you're going through, but I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to pray with you. And sometimes there have been people that have come in the church or even outside of the church that will just say, look, I'm going through something right now, and you taking that ability and praying for them and let them know that, you know, you're praying for them and encouraging them, that's another way to pray for all, to pray for other people. And sometimes people do it for me, too. I know that when I was going through what I was going through, all you all were praying for me, and I just have joy now. I just have joy. I have peace. But I know that that's because you guys are always praying for us. And those prayers that you're doing during the prayer service, I don't take them lightly because I know that we're being blessed by you petitioning on our behalf.
Amen.
So thank you all.
Amen. And you know, with all of that, We are blessed through prayer. People don't seem to understand that, but through people praying for us, a lot of us right now, we would not be in Christ if someone hadn't prayed for us.
That's right. Amen.
When we think about the direction in which we were headed, you know, we some songs that are being sung, you know, where people talk about it, my grandmother, my grandfather had prayed, you know, we were headed down the wrong road.
Amen.
But because grandma thought enough, she knew that, okay, she would beat your butt to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other part of that, she was somewhere praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then while we're talking about prayer, I think Sister Gregory hit on, you know, prayer, I think long ago people used to think that the only way you could pray, you had to get on your knees. It's more to that than just getting on your knees. Yes, you get on your knees. It's a way of bowing before the Lord.
Yeah.
But there are so many different ways. I mean, if you're in your car, you can't stop, get on your knees and pray.
But you can pray.
You know, you're driving on the beltway and you're praying, Lord, don't let this thing run over here because if you hit me, I know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So, you know, there are different ways of praying, different styles, but the thing is to get us to open our mouths for the Lord. And that takes us to verse number 19, where it says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Part of us as Christians, part of our problem is that when it comes time to speaking a word, even praying a word for other people about Jesus, we become ashamed.
Right.
For years growing up, you know, other people, especially during the summertime, and in my car, you know, I'd have the gospel on, then somebody come along with that old boom, 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 and you hear all that, you know, I would turn myself down. Because I didn't want anyone to know that I was a Christian. And the Lord came to me one day and say, fool, what is your problem? All that I've done for you. You know, we are supposed to be bold witnesses for the Lord. And part of the problem with our world, the only time we get bold is in the church.
Right. Got to take it beyond the world.
I mean, we'll speak up. Sometimes we speak up and it's not of God, but
right.
In the church we're bold.
Mm-hmm.
But once we leave the doors, we become like little church mice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I envy my daughter Jessica because her girlfriend can talk, and she's bold with her talking.
Right.
You know, with all that she's gone through, these interviews and things. That, you know, I watch her, and she don't have a problem
saying
that she's blessed or God has done this and the Lord has brought. And see, and that is the way that we ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Take that Holy Ghost boldness that only God can give us, and speak a word. For the Lord,
Mr. Gregory,
you didn't
want to
jump in there.
No, I was just agreeing with you. And you know, and the best way, we can't just be talked to. We have to live it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we live it, when we do speak it, people will believe that we know what we're talking about. And if you live it, then it becomes habit. It becomes, it's nothing to say, well, thank you, Lord, or that you're blessed, or that, you know, in your interview and there's something that's going on, and particularly when we do, for example, things with Children's Hospital. I always say that God blessed us with good doctors.
Amen.
I'm not saying that the doctors aren't any good, but I say that God blessed us with the doctors at Children's Hospital, and that's why we're able to, and Jessie's been able to go as far as she's been able to go. But even, you know, on the job, when there's been challenges that we had to get through, and maybe it was like period close, when we had to get stuff done and get it done, you know, I'm like, okay, thank you, Lord, it worked. And it's regardless of who you're around, whether it's saved, unsaved, you're just an ambassador for Christ, and it's not only when you're around Christians.
Amen. And, you know, one thing we have to keep in mind about Paul, all that Paul went through in the Roman cell, prison, chains, he was bold in his speaking a word for the Lord. Now, we don't, and we're not, going through all that Paul went through or some of those other saints that have gone on. But we have our own challenges in life.
Right.
And we've got to learn how that if you really love the Lord, as we say, if you really trust the Lord, if your faith is really where it ought to be, then we ought to be bold enough to speak a word for the Lord. You know, it's almost as if we're ashamed to speak a word on Christ because we don't want anybody talking about us. I'll tell you what, I'm at the point now in my life that I'd rather speak a word for the Lord. They talk about Christ. So what makes us think they're not going to talk about
us?
So we have to learn how to open our mouths. I mean, we open our mouths to everything else. Yeah, this past Thanksgiving, I watched my kids come in. They were loud. They ate. They watched the football games. And every time Dallas didn't make it, you know, all kinds of cheers went up. Hello. So why can't we speak boldly and open our mouths boldly for the Lord? I really, somebody tell me why. I'd like to know why. Here you go.
Four letters, F-E-A-R, fear. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Not the fear of respect, but the fear of scared. But has given us what? Power.
And a sound mind.
So fear will cause us to cower down.
But Lord knows we have the Spirit of God in us, and the Spirit of God is not afraid. So that spirit casts out all fear. So what is the problem? It could be unbelief.
Yeah.
I think he just summed it all up. It was unbelief.
Yeah.
You know, Lord help my unbelief. And I believe, but there are areas that there's unbelief.
Right.
Okay. And so we have to pray for those areas.
Right.
I'm constantly praying about those areas,
mm-hmm.
and for him to show me where he wants me to go, not necessarily where I want to go.
Right.
You know, and it took me the longest to pray, "Thy will be done." I could pray the whole prayer, but when I got to that part, it was just so hard. And I asked God, "Lord, please, I don't know why I can't say that part. I really need you to help me, because you know." And then he showed me one day, "Because you don't want my will to be done, Mary. You want your will to be done." And I was like, "Oh no, it couldn't be," but it was, you know. Sometimes he makes us look at ourselves in the mirror, and it's not always pretty.
Yeah.
But it's good for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to just say fear. But for me, that's been not just as I've started walking with God. I've always kind of been that person that I like to kind of fade in the back, you know. And now I'm asking the Lord to help me to be more bold, because I don't want to be in that thing,
right.
You know. So I'm trying to do better, and I know with God's help I will.
Amen.
I definitely agree with my good friend over there that it's definitely fear, better known as false evidence appearing real. But I think that one thing we have to realize is that you know, you have to understand, like, the way of the world is not of God. And then one thing you have to realize is, us being Christians, and even if you kind of look back over the history, is that the great innovators, the great people who we've known, always said, you know what, this is the way everybody else sees things, or everybody else is doing this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it this way, or see things this way, from great philosophers to scientists to great politicians to the Martin Luther Kings and even Jesus Christ himself saw how the way things was, but he chose to do it this way, the way God leads him. And I think that's one thing that we have to understand, that it's one thing to say, okay, I'm a Christian, but understand you have a responsibility to let your light shine and to show others, like, look, this is what I'm doing over here. Why don't you come over and come over here and bring some family and friends along with you? Because I know I didn't always start off where I'm at now. I had somebody hit me upside the head a couple of times and do some things, and I'm keeping it real. And I know all of you all probably didn't start off as Christians or were this part of your Christianity at this part in your life. So it's a growing process, but you have to start from somewhere. So you would almost be doing a disservice to God if you didn't bring somebody else along who was probably once where you were many moons ago.
Amen, amen. Everything is so true, you know, and I really like that fear aspect, to take it from a child. As you know, we all have Youth Sunday in our churches, and we always have our youth come up in prayer. And I was talking to one of our, I guess he's 17 now, 17-year-olds. He was at our dinner table this evening, and they started talking about when they were praying, when they first started praying. And he said that, yeah, when I first had to start praying when I was younger, when I was little, I would always cry, which was true. He would get up in front of the church, and he had to pray, and he would bust out in tears, but he'd pray. But now he's a junior deacon in our church. He's like, now I just get up and I pray all the time, and it doesn't, you know. So the boldness, and he's gotten past that fear because he's gotten to know the Lord, because we basically had to groom him in Sunday school, Bible study, and just getting him to know the goodness of God, that God's not the one to fear. It's the world that's out there to fear.
Amen. And, you know, we keep in mind that it is our job to speak boldly on behalf of our Lord. But the problem comes, we don't know enough of the word to speak boldly. You know, I think Sister Mary is saying, you know, we want to do our will. We want to grow up in our way.
Mm-hmm.
We want to learn our way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you, as a pastor, as a teacher, it gets frustrating at times trying to motivate folk to get to a point where they ought to be, where they can get that word. And you're right, we have to take a look at self daily, because none of us are perfect. You know, we're so far from it. It doesn't matter how old we are. You know, I've been in this journey now for over 40 years, and I'm still learning. I've gotten bolder.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten better. And I've learned more that I've been on this journey now.
Right.
So now, when I think back, when I first started out, I share this with the kids all the time, that the first time I was ever called on to pray, didn't know a thing about praying, I went home, I wrote a prayer, called myself memorizing it, and by the time Sunday came, forgot the prayer, and I had to go alone. It was me and the Lord. And to this day, I still don't know what I said, but I know I prayed. So that was the start for me. And so, you know, speaking that word for the Lord, you know, we have to become bold with our walk in Christ. Because, see, and then this next part where it says, to make known the mystery of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a mystery.
Yes.
Anyone who says they understand it, they lie.
That's why you got to keep reading the Bible.
Pit the brain of God as to why he would send his only son into a world to die for mankind, for people who don't love him, don't appreciate all that it does, will stay at home, turn a deaf ear, don't want to be bothered, find excuses. Hello.
Amen.
I mean, if I'm kicking somebody, just say amen.
Amen.
And go through all of the motions. My kids are doing this. But we find every excuse.
Uh-huh.
But yet, let somebody get sick.
Mm.
Or let death come.
Mm.
I've seen more people being humbled since Mary and Barry died than I have in D.C. in a long time. And it's a shame that we have to wait for someone to pass on before we pull back and kind of get off our little high horses and step back a point. But see, the gospel is mysterious. But we don't take enough time to get into it. And we'll probably never fully understand it, even until the day that we pass on. But we are to open our mouths boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Why? To let other folks know about Jesus, that God is good, and that Jesus is good, and that the Holy Spirit is even here now,
yes,
making intercession for us, encouraging us, helping us to become bold.
That's right.
And so we have to learn that it's not me, it's not mine, but we're working off of a spirit that only God could give us.
Amen.
And see, and when you think about some of that mystery, God knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, he came in the beginning, the Father came in the beginning, set everything in motion. And what I love about that story is that even while he was setting everything in motion, the Son was right there and the Holy Spirit was right there. All three working in conjunction with the other.
Amen.
But the Father draws, the Son sets free, and the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of salvation. So it's up to us. We can take what God has for us, use it, try to help others draw into the body of Christ, and then while we're doing it, when you really get into it, see, that gospel motivates you. When you think about how good God is, and that's where we've got to get to a point, where the gospel in itself is mysterious. But then we've got to understand that we, as verse 20 says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Now keep in mind, Paul was in prison, and he was still preaching and talking about Christ.
Right.
That's the boldness.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that say to us? That when we're going through our little whatever we go through, we got to be bold enough to trust God to do it.
That's right. It will.
And stop relying on, not my will, Lord, your will.
That's right.
And when we get to that point where we understand, Lord, it's not about me.
That's right.
Every day my prayer, Lord, this is your will, your way. Got to be done your way. And if we take that and understand that it's got to be done, God says in his word, my ways are not like your ways.
That's right.
My thoughts are not like your thoughts. So that's all part of the mystery of God.
Yeah.
But see, the average individual is not going to get to understand that because they're not studying that word.
Right.
They're not praying without ceasing. They're not getting to know the Lord. They're not drawing closer. So, to get to know that mystery. And then when you think back that, okay, what God says that you're more than an heir. You're a joint heir with Christ.
That's a lot.
You know, we are special in the sight of God.
Right.
We're ambassadors.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God didn't make any junk.
Fearfully and wonderfully.
Thank you. And so we've got to act like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not walk around with our noses up there. And it bothers me sometimes with some of these preachers and these bishops and to get these titles and these and throw it out at you. No, look, we're all servants of Jesus.
That's right.
Some of us are elevated more than others. But we're all servants of Christ.
That's right.
We have to understand that God selected us.
Mm-hmm.
God chose us. And there's nobody but God that's working that miracle in us to clean us up. Every time we go down, there's nobody but God right there.
Right.
And so we have to understand that we're ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
We're more than conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got all that going for you, then what's the problem?
And get rid of that fear. Walk by faith. It's what everybody's been saying. Is that when you look at all that, there should be no fear.
Yeah.
And it's all about walking in faith because then you trust him. You trust him because he loves us that much.
Mm-hmm.
And when you trust him, that means whatever comes at you, it may wobble a little bit, but we're not going to fall down because we trust and we get past that fear. And then we share that with someone else so that they know how to handle the challenges of life.
Amen. You know, one thing we do at New Birth, because I don't have a lot of associate ministers, and the Lord told me to start putting lay folk up doing those different things. And I will do what he tells me to do. I've had folk, some of those young folk, get up, speak.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Preach.
That's right.
Pray.
That's right.
I've come to folk, said, well, Lord has told me that you're going to do one of the seven last words, or
mm-hmm.
you're going to speak. During Good Friday or Thanksgiving.
Or Women's Day.
Some may try to argue, and if they do, I'll go back to the Word, and then this is what the Lord wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that when I do that, you know, number one, I'm preparing them. No, God wants us to get up and speak boldly. Okay,
right.
Well, they haven't been called. My wife is always telling me, the Lord didn't call me to preach, but yet she can preach. Hello. Amen. We all ministers of Christ, and we all have been called to speak a word on behalf of the Lord. And so it's a thing that whether we're called on to speak from a pulpit or just in everyday life,
right?
We have been called by God to open our mouths boldly,
that's right,
and talk about the mystery of the gospel,
right?
And keep in mind that Paul was in prison, bound. And the brother is preaching
and teaching
about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes on to say in the second part of that verse 20, that therein I may speak boldly, talking about Paul, as I ought to speak.
That's right.
As I ought to speak. That right there covers all of it.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to be able to speak boldly on behalf of the Lord.
That's right.
Why? Because God has been doing so much.
Mm-hmm.
But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And that little last word right there, in sincerity. More of,
more people have got
to keep it real.
You know, there are so many fakes and phonies within the church. It's a shame. And that's why I find that I'm very particular as a pastor about what churches I fellowship with. I mean, I've had churches, had one pastor years ago. He was invited to come and render service in the evening. But before he came, he wanted to know certain things. How much of an offering he was going to get, is it this, is it that. And see, that kind of stuff turns me off.
Right.
If all we're concerned with is how much money you're going to come for preaching,
right,
you stay where you are.
That's right.
Hello.
That's right. That's right.
It's not about the money.
It should never.
It's not about the fame. It's not about somebody patting us on the back, talking about how good you did. It's about rendering service for the Lord. And until we get to that point where we as Christians understand that, you know, we got this thing all wrong. Yeah, we'll get out and preach, and you get some of these brethren on the radios and these television ministries, and, you know, some of them I can't even there to hear, and when they come on talking about their churches and they got services, I turn the chat.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true, because too often we want people to see us or not, you know, and it's like they want to put themselves up front. And when it should be all about Christ, it shouldn't be about me, it shouldn't be about how it makes me feel that you're giving me glory. The glory should be to God. To God be the glory. So if you're seeing me and you're only seeing me, then I'm not doing it right, because you shouldn't see me. You should see what I'm, the message that I'm delivering from the messenger. And I do remember, like, when you first came to New Birth, and there was a couple of ministers that came to the installation, and they were back there, and the one guy said, because you stood up and you said, I'm doing this for God, and I would do it whether I got a salary, whether I got a stipend or not,
mm-hmm,
because it's not about getting paid, it's about the Lord. And I remember he came to you and said, you never should say that to your congregation.
Amen.
And I was like, it's not about the money. It's not about that. It's not about glory for me. It's about people seeing God. And if you're seeing me and you're not seeing God, then I'm not doing it right.
Yes,
you should see, it should be representative of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. So, you know, we have to keep in mind that as verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we just live in a day and time that we really have to be mindful of everything that is around us, and everything that calls on the Lord and calls Jesus is not of God.
That's right.
And, you know, we have to learn how to discern,
right,
to have the discernment of God to be able to see through the disguises,
mm-hmm,
that preachers, officers, whoever, you know, it really makes no difference. And see, then we don't want folks to talk about it. No, we need to talk about it. We need to call them what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And stop trying to sugarcoat things. I guess that's probably why I'll never get invited to a lot of these big churches. Because, see, I don't have sense enough to put on airs,
mm-hmm,
just to impress people. You know, I've got to tell it like it is. And if that means that my church stays small, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm content. I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to be happy,
right,
with what God has given. But I've also learned that it's about doing God's will. Irregardless of what kind of ministry goes on, I share with Brandon, you know, I share with my wife, that whenever you're leading the service, you know, you go according to what the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a deacon tell me one time that, you know, we ought not move away from that program.
Decently in order.
You know, it's got to be done
decently
and
in order.
And I had to come back to him and tell him, well, what I'm doing is decent in order, because I'm obeying the Spirit.
Right.
You know, the program is just a guide. But on any given Sunday, God knows what he wants to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know who may be sitting in the congregation
right,
that have gone through a rough week.
Right.
They need to be uplifted.
That's
rather
right,
than going
piece by piece. Okay, we're going to have the scripture about the prayer, then we're going to have the announcement. No, sometimes God wants to get away from all that theatrical stuff and just be about worship and praise.
Right.
Oh my God. So we've got to get to that point where we are obedient to what God wants. And I've learned, say, Father, whatever you want. You know, I tell folks every Sunday, we can turn that program over, tear it up. It's about what God wants. And so we must learn how to speak bold, how to be bold witnesses for the Lord. And the only way we're going to do that, understand what we're fighting against, but take that armor.
Right.
Every piece of that armor is for a specific person. Take that armor, utilize it, and use the word, which is that sword, to fight against the devil. And one thing, and we're going to leave you with this, never run from him. Because God doesn't give us anything to fall back. He doesn't want us to retreat.
Right.
And so with all of that, we've got to take what God gives us.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that as we end this tonight, that things are well with you all. I hope that you all have gotten something, that we have given you some encouragement to go through the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for Pastor C.
Yes.
I want God to take care of getting him safely home and know that all is well. And irregardless of the mic system, the internet, or whatever, we rebuke the devil and all of that. Because God's program
God still
goes
on. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. The last thing that I have to say is just what you were saying. The one thing that I always loved about this chapter, when it was talking about the whole armor of God, and you look at everything, he doesn't put anything on, he doesn't have anything for the back. And it's for, you know, main purposes. He doesn't want us to turn back because we don't need to look back.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go forward, and he has our back.
Amen.
So all of it is to just continue to move forward, trusting in the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, again, we thank everyone who did call in. We couldn't get calls on the online, but we thank God for those that have come out. We pray now that the Lord will continue to watch over us and keep us. So we're going to ask you to bow your heads with us as we pray out. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, again for all that you have done this evening. Lord, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for being a part of our lives. Lord, we thank you for loving us and putting up with us, even when we don't have sense of
it. Amen.
Father, I pray right now that we have gained something from that word tonight, that we've learned how to put self to the back burner. We've learned how to take that boldness, that Holy Ghost boldness, oh Lord, and let it move to the forefront. Father, help us now that we understand that it's not about my will or Sister Gregory's will or anybody else's will. It's about what you want for us.
That's right.
And Father, I'm praying that people, that Christians, would all come to grips with this thing, that we've got to get in that word more, Lord. We've got to learn how to pray, Lord. We've got to learn how to be better and bolder mouthpieces for you. Father, take away the fear. And, Lord, I'm praying right now that even though the enemy tried to see me, Father, we rebuke the devil and all of his lowness. Father, your word has still gone out. I pray, Lord, that you are pleased with what we've done. Now, Lord, I pray and ask that you would watch over Pastor C. Take him safely to his destination and find that all is safe there. Lord, we thank you for the heart of God. Thank you for new birth, for those members that did journey out. And, Lord, if it's your will that on tomorrow we awaken to another new day. Lord, before we do anything else, give us the gumption and the knowledge and the wisdom that we just look into heaven and just say thank you. Lord, we pray right now that you would grant us traveling mercy. And whatever your will is on tomorrow, let it be done. Father, if it's your will that we gather again on Sunday at our prospective places, O Lord, and we worship you, Lord, pray that you let that be done. Now, Lord, we give it all to you and ask that thy will be done. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. The redeemed souls say amen.
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 Thank you, and may God bless you.
God bless you.